Heavenly Father, I just ask that your hand and your favor would be upon me tonight as I bring forth your word, Lord God. I ask that you would be glorified in this place tonight, Lord Jesus. I'm trusting that your word is the sword of the Spirit, Lord God. It is your word, Lord Jesus, that cuts through our hearts, Lord God, and brings forth truth. And I ask, Lord God, that your word would come in this place tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on my heart, you know, as I've been preparing for this message, I God continues to tell me that I need to be very transparent in where I'm coming from. And I don't know about a lot of you, but I have really been feeling challenged. I've really been feeling pressured. I've really been feeling like I'm not doing enough for God's kingdom. And I feel like I need to step into a new boldness, that I need to step into a new place of courage, a new place of declaring where I am drawing my line, and that's who I am, right? And I think that if you've listened to me over the last couple weeks, maybe that's what this has all kind of been building up to. And I've really been struggling with the question of, where are all God's people? Like, and I know that sounds horrible, but I just want to be fully transparent tonight, because I'm talking to myself tonight more than anything, because I'm going to tell you right now that this has been a work on my heart that I'm bringing here tonight. And there is so much chaos in the world, and there's so much confusion, and there's so much darkness, right? And I just continue to think, like, where is the light? Where are God's people? Why are we not countering the darkness with the light? And my first thought was, you know, God, show me somebody in the Bible that has just completely gone through, you know, hung their whole life on hold so that they could serve you, okay? That was my first request to God. And then I laughed almost as soon as I asked it, because there's not a person in the Bible that did not put their whole life on hold so that they could serve God, right? You're not going to see any mighty men in the Bible that didn't just keep plowing away their own normal path and ignoring what was going on in the world. No, every mighty person in the Bible's life quit going straight and started going in the way of the Lord. They decided to make a sacrifice and a change and a commitment to put God first. And because they made that commitment, they were able to be a light to their generation, okay? And so I thought, all right, God, that was kind of a silly request, right? Every one of them, like, who can we not name? So I said, God, if this is, show me what we as Christians are supposed to be doing, right? Because you know what? I'm not a violent person. Because my first thought was, Nakia's laughing. All right, she might know a little bit, but I'm not super violent. I'm really not a violent person, right? But my first thought was the Israelites had to fight to enter into the promised land. God's chosen people had to fight to enter into their promises, right? God gave it to them, but they had to get rid of the darkness that was living there before them, so that they could enter into the land that was flowing with milk and honey. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to fight the darkness so that I can enter into the promises that God has for me. And I say all that because, man, I'm going to be totally honest. Like, as of 9:30 this morning, I really wasn't sure exactly what I was going to say here tonight, and I'm not really positive that I still do, but I know that God's got this, and that I'm going to be obedient to what he wants me to say tonight. And this is where he's led me. Honestly, he has led me all over his scripture, all over his passages. But one word continues to rise up, and that word is awaken. We as the church have got to awaken. You know, Isaiah, as he was prophesying to the Israelites, three different times he tells the Israelites that you must awaken. Separate yourself from the enemy and live for God. And he brought me to Ephesians in chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 6 through 14, if you'll stand for the reading of the word. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words. I'm going to just stop right there. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words. There is a lot of deception going on in the world today from man with vain words, right? But it tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So vain words come from the children of disobedience, children that are not of God. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord, and walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are called to reprove the darkness. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, for Christ shall give thee life. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. You see, I believe that this message that Paul was giving to the Ephesian church is the same message that we need to be hearing as a body of Christ today. This is not a new message. This is a message that was shared in the Old Testament. This is a message shared from Jesus. This is a message shared through the apostles and to the new churches that are the body of Christ. We must wake up. And the body of believers need to do just that today. I believe more now than ever that God is sounding an alarm to his people in this day, in this hour, in this time, that we need a spiritual awakening. If you continue to read here in Ephesians, if you read verses 15 and 16, it says, see that then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We must be wise. So that when the vain lies of the disobedient children are told to us, we are smart enough to know that they are false. But it says, redeeming the time, because the days of evil are now. These are the days of evil. And it is time that God's churches awake and arise and stand upon the word of God, which is the truth. You see, he's talking here today about those who are asleep. Those who are asleep are those who are walking around in darkness. It's a symbol of those that are spiritually dead. They are living in darkness, they're living in spiritual sleep, and ultimately spiritual death. So what is darkness? Darkness is merely the absence of light, right? Darkness is when there is no light found. And so if you are spiritually dead or you are walking around in the darkness, you are asleep because there is an absence of Christ in your life. Because Christ is the light. And so if you are walking around in darkness, if you are asleep, it is because of the absence of Christ in your life. Ephesians 5:8 said, "For we were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light." Listen, before each and every one of us were believers, we were walking around in the darkness. Before each and every one of us had Christ, we had no light to guide us and to tell us how to live. We had no sense of direction. We were literally just walking around lost, without hope, without understanding what this life is for, without knowing what our future would be, thinking that when we die, it was just the end, right? There's no hope in a life of darkness. But with Jesus, when you become a believer, you're no longer required to walk around in the darkness. You now have light in your life, and the scripture tells us that not only is the light part of your life, but you are a light. Say, "I am a light." Couldn't hear that. Say, "I am a light." He made each and every one of us to be a light and to walk as children of the light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and he that follow after me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall walk in the light of life." You see, I started with awaken, and the truth of the matter is we are first woken up out of our deadness, out of our darkness, when we first meet Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's when his light shines so brightly in our lives that we can no longer ignore it, and we are awoken from our sleep. We are awoken from the darkness. And if we haven't received Jesus, then you know what the sad truth is you're still walking around in the darkness. You're still walking around in the death. You're still lost. I mean, picture this. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where, you know, maybe there's a storm or something and it's nighttime and the power goes off in your house? And the reality of it is most of us know what is in our house, right? We know that there's a coffee. I know there's a coffee table in the middle of my living room. But when it's pitch black, the chances of me running into it are pretty high, right? And without Jesus, it's like walking around in a house that you can't see, and you're going to continue to run into things. You're going to miss the door. You're going to fall down the stairs. You're going to bust your toe on the coffee table. But when we have Jesus, the lights are on in the house, okay? We are awakened, we are alive, and we can maneuver through life without running into the obstacles that are before us. Jesus awakens us. He brings life to our dead life. Anybody have a hard time getting up in the morning? Okay? So my husband is absolutely the worst person in the world to wake up in the morning. He's bad, okay? And so in the middle of the winter, it's even harder because it's dark for so long in the morning. And you know what I do when he can't get up? I don't go over and shake him because he'll swing. Number one rule, don't get too close. But what I do is I turn the lights on. Because when the lights come on, our body begins to produce what it needs to produce to wake us up. That's why if you stay in the darkness, you become depressed. You know, when my son had a concussion, he had to live in the dark basement for 6 weeks because his concussion was so bad. And when he came out of that, he was so depressed because he had not seen daylight and real light in such a long time that if we get stuck in the darkness, we become depressed, we become beat down, and we lose our hope. And one of the first things that I told him he had to do to be able to get out of that depression was to go outside and to sit in the sunlight. And I'm going to tell you right now, it worked. Sitting in the sunlight that God provides for us. How much more sitting in the light of Christ can we rise out of the darkness, out of our states of depression, out of our states where we feel like there's no hope, we feel like there's nothing that we can do? We can find that power in the presence of the light of Christ. I mean, when we first heard the good news, we were awoken. Somebody turned the light on in our heart. And it is our job, our responsibility as believers to go around turning people's lights on. That is our job, is to bring the light to the body of this world that is out there in darkness. They need somebody to come in and kick the lights on for them because they're lost and they're stumbling around without hope and they're hurting and they're depressed and they're confused. And we, children of the light, we've got the answer that they need. They need us to wake them up. They don't want us, but they need us. It is our responsibility as children of God to be a light to this world. That's our job. You know, Patrick said that Sunday morning. He said, you know what? Step one is salvation, but as we mature, step two is that we're sharing that salvation with other believers, right? That is going out and turning their lights on, waking them up. Listen, this letter to the Ephesian church was not a letter to unbelievers. This letter to the Ephesian church was a letter to believers, people that profess themselves as followers of Jesus Christ. And here we have Paul telling believers, awaken, arise, and be the child of light that God has called you to be. And today we have too many people that are professing to be believers of Jesus Christ that are asleep, that are walking around in the darkness. How do I know that? Because they're fellowshipping with the darkness. They're participating in acts of the darkness. They're out in this world saying that this is okay and that's okay. And let me tell you right now that when you ignore it, that's acceptance. That's when you're asleep. Think about when you're asleep. When you're asleep, you don't really know you're asleep, right? Because you're asleep. But you can do things when you're asleep. Some people walk in their sleep. My son, he used to walk in his sleep so bad when he was little, I needed to like get a gate to keep him locked in. Some people talk in their sleep. You can hear in your sleep. Some people sing in their sleep. You think in your sleep when you're dreaming. You can do a lot of things and still be asleep, right? Let me tell you this. You can even fall asleep with the lights on, right? And there's so many people that are professing Jesus Christ that are asleep today. And my call is that we need to be woken up. You see, when you're asleep, you don't really care about what's going on around you, right? If you're asleep and the kids are playing in the other room, you're not worried about what they're doing because you're asleep. Some people can sleep so hard that if a storm comes through, it doesn't even wake them up, right? That's why my mom always says that I'm scared that one day a storm's going to come through and I'm going to wake up the next morning like in a tree because she's going to sleep through it. That's how hard she sleeps. But when you're asleep, you're not worried about what's going on. You're not worried about your neighborhood. You're not worried about your community. You're not even worried about the people that you interact with on a daily basis, right? Your family. And that's how I know that the body of Christ is asleep today. Because so much of the body of Christ is not concerned about their neighbor, is not concerned about their community, is not concerned about the people that we interact with on a daily basis. You see, what we do is we muddle around through the darkness. I wish I had a lighter. We muddle around with the darkness with a little flame, right? This is our little light. And our whole goal is to maybe make sure that our light doesn't go out, right? Or to pull it out like just when we need it. Like when we walk into church, we'll get our lighter out and we'll light it up, right? And carry our light into church. But we're supposed to use that light to light a fire in this world. And we are not doing that as a body of believers. And I can stand here today because, as I stated, this is the conviction on my heart. I am not sharing the light that I need to be sharing. My light is not shining bright enough. You see, we carry that little light around and we pull it out when it's convenient to share the gospel, right? We pull it out when it makes sense to do something, but not in those times where it's difficult. Not in those times where we're worried somebody's going to blow it out or rip it out of our hand or make fun of us because we're carrying this little light around. Because we do think that if we get in a situation where we're going to be challenged and we share our light, that they're going to be able to steal it or they're going to be able to put it out. Let me tell you, the fire that burns from heaven never goes out, right? And I'm here to tell you tonight that it's our job and it's our responsibility as light to wake people up. And the only way that we can do this is if we shine brighter than the darkness. We've got to start shining. And the only source that we can use to wake people up is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Scripture tells us that Jesus is the light that came into the world, and whosoever will believe upon Him will not abide in darkness. If we look again at Ephesians, if we are children of the light, then there's certain things that we should be doing. First off, in verses 8, it tells me that if I am a child of the light, my nature is now light. That I am no longer part of the darkness, but my nature is now light. In verse 9, the scripture tells us that if we are children of the light, we should be bearing good fruit, fruit of the Spirit, that is goodness and righteousness and truth. If you're walking around and you're not bearing fruit, you're not shining enough light. Verse 10 tells us that light shows us, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If you are shining the light, that means that you are saying that this act is acceptable unto the Lord and this act is not acceptable unto the Lord. That you are living a life that is pleasing to God. And that means that you may be separating yourself from the darkness because it's wrong, because it doesn't please God. As I was studying this, it said, you are going to discriminate between what is acceptable and unacceptable for the Lord. Now, discriminate, that's a bad word today, isn't it? We're not supposed to discriminate anybody's lifestyle or anybody's way of life or who they are. But the Bible tells me that I am supposed to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And the definition of discriminate really just means that you're going to distinguish or differentiate. You can tell the difference between what is acceptable to Christ and what is not acceptable to Christ. And as a child of light, you're going to live your life acceptable to Christ. And you're not going to accept anything different. That's proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In verses 11 and 12, it tells us that light exposes the work of darkness. In verses 13, it tells us that light reveals and converts everything that it touches. And in verse 14, light awakens those that are asleep. Listen, if we're children of the light, then you should be able to put a check mark by everything that I just said. Are you a child of the light tonight? Or are you a child of the darkness? Because when I read that, I had to ask myself that question and think about where I really stood. You see, our walk as awake and alive believers, we should be bearing fruit. We should be representing what is good and acceptable, and we should be exposing the works of darkness by revealing and converting everything that touches the light to be light. And we should be awakening the dead out of the darkness, because you have light and you are to shine as a child of the light. You see, this means that we must live separated. This means that we can no longer be deceived by the vain words of men of the disobedient children. Look, it's so important that this scripture starts with that.
Because if we are to prove the truth, then we've got to know what the lies are, right? And when somebody throws a lie at us, we need to be like taking a flashlight and shining it down on it and showing it for what it is. And how can we do that? By the word of God, which is our truth. But you got to know the word to be able to do that. You got to have the word in your heart. I mean, that's what it is telling us in verse 11, is that we are supposed to be exposing. We are supposed to be reproving the lies of this world. It tells us, have no fellowship with darkness, but to reprove darkness. And this simply means that Jesus has called us to expose darkness. Because when you shine a light in a dark place, what happens? It lights up, right? If you can't see something and you shine a flashlight in it, it now becomes light. The believer's task is to live in so much light that our lives reprove the darkness. And this means that sin cannot be taken lightly. In fact, we are supposed to live in so much light that when our lives come into contact with sin, that it is exposed and that it must flee. I mean, our lives should reflect so much light that the darkness flees, just as it does. If you shine light in the dark place, the darkness is gone. And verse 13 tells us that when we expose these things, they are made manifest by the light. And manifest is a very critical word. Manifest means that it will unveil or a revelation. You see, when light shines in a dark place, it unveils what truly is hidden there. Right? Boys, if you're coon hunting and your dog's on a tree and you want to be able to see what's in the top of that tree, what are you going to do? You're going to put your headlamp on, you're going to shine your light up the tree, and you're going to be able to see if a coon is up there or not. Am I right? Because the light unveils what is hidden in the darkness. And we are called to shine the light in the darkness so that we can expose it. And then when we do, the truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be revealed. You guys, this is the beautiful, this is just like summarizes the beautifulness of salvation, right? So long as evil is done in secret, it's going to thrive. If the darkness continues out there and we don't begin to shine our light on it, it's going to continue to thrive like it feels like it is today. Because I don't know about you, but I feel like it's thriving today and that the body of Christ is just surviving. But I would like to start a revolution to change that. Because I know that my God is victorious. I know that my God is everlasting. And that evil will come to death and an end. And see, when a person, but to be able to stop that darkness, we have got to bring light into the world. Because when a person is confronted with Christ, all of their dark works are exposed. You see, when we shine a light on a dark place in a person's life, we can see their lies, we can see their destruction, we can see death, right? I mean, think about the first time that the light of Christ shined in your life. Jesus exposed all your sin. He exposed the very fact that you needed him and only him to be forgiven. He exposed the very fact that if you did not have him in your life, that your life would end in death. That is what happens when we reprove. Jesus is glorified. His name is manifested. The truth of Christ will be exposed, and God's glory will be revealed. And that's the promise that we see in the scripture here. It because when light touches something, it then becomes light. Not only is it revealed, but it is converted to the new creature and the new being that God has created us to be. That new hope, that new life, that change that only God can give us. You see, God's glory is revealed through Jesus Christ, but it can only be made manifest when we, the children of light, are willing to share it with the darkness, with those that are lost, with those that are broken, with those that are hurting and confused, with those that are sinners. Because need I remind you, once upon a time, even today, is that not me? There's still areas of my life that I need God's light to shine on. Areas of my heart that I need him to reveal to me, that he can be glorified in those areas. But I've got to let the light in, and we've got to share the light with this world. It is our very responsibility and our job to shine so bright that we can awaken those that are lost in the darkness. And Austin, I'm getting ready to close. As I was studying, I read this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. And I don't think I have ever read, I've read it before, but I've never digested it before. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost." I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart tonight. Because if I'm hiding my gospel, if I'm hiding the gospel of Jesus Christ because I'm too scared to step out, or I'm worried about what somebody's going to think, or I don't know if I'm going to be able to commit to the lifestyle change that it's going to create, or I don't know that I'm going to be able to withstand the persecution that might come out of it. I'm hiding that from somebody that needs it, from somebody that's lost, from somebody that's wandering around in the darkness and doesn't know their way home, doesn't know their way to salvation, probably doesn't even know that their life is on the track to death. If I hide my light, if I put it under a bushel, and not up on the windowsill, I'm hiding it from somebody that needs it. And to me, that's more important than any political gain, than any march, than anything. And as believers, that should be the most important thing that we're doing, is sharing our light, the gospel of Christ, with those that are lost. Because if you jump down to verse 6, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined on our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God commands us to be a light. That is not a small request. It is a command and our responsibility as children of light. So let me ask you tonight, who are you hiding your light from? Let me ask you tonight, how bright are you shining? Because I know that God has challenged me to shine a whole lot brighter than I am today. And here's what I know. That when people shine together, when you've got candles on a birthday cake, the more candles, the brighter the cake is, right? And if we as a body of Christ would awaken and begin to shine together in unity, and stand up against the darkness that is coming against us, God will move mountains. The darkness will flee. And we can reclaim our families. We can reclaim our children. We can reclaim our neighborhoods. We can reclaim our community. We can reclaim our nation. Because that's where I'm at tonight. I've got a nation to reclaim. Oh, Lord, help me. Is your light bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Is your life showing a lifestyle that's acceptable unto God? Is your light exposing the darkness? Is it bright enough that it reveals the truth and converts everything that it touches? Is your light so bright that it will awaken those that are asleep, even if they're sitting right next to you? Or are you hiding your light from the lost, from those that are wandering around in the darkness with no guide? They're separated and they're alone and they've got no hope. As we come to pray, Romans 13 and 11 says, knowing the time, that now it is a high time to awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. And I believe that if we could just awaken, salvation is going to start pouring in. Revival is going to start pouring in. God's light is going to start pouring in. So tonight, won't you come and pray and ask God to help you to be just a little bit more bright than you were the day before? And if you keep asking him that day after day, he will allow you to shine as bright as the morning sun in your life and in those that he brings across your paths. Won't you come and pray?